with the selected contractor, a minority women and emerging small business subcontractor and workforce plan. This method has proven to be successful in achieving results and is part of the social equity contracting strategy. The engineer's estimate for the CMGC is $2.5 million and includes costs for the pre-construction services and construction of this project. I am going to turn this over to Catherine Levine if the City Council has any additional questions on the technical pieces of this project.
Okay. Catherine and Chris are here to answer questions or to add any more information that we need for this.
Well, I thought I read that it was a budget of $3.7 million, so when you just said $2.5 million.
The total project cost is currently estimated at just over $3.7 million. That's correct.
But the grant makes up the difference?
The figure that Christine was quoting was related specifically to the construction contract and related services.
To the CMGC contractor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then how much, what's a guess of what we can save through value engineering on this? I mean, order of magnitude?
You mean going through this process?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like a relatively small project that kind of just pushes the margin of whether it's an appropriate CMGC project versus a low bid. So what are we going to regain? I mean, I know the minority contracting is certainly a valid point, but it's also mentioned in here significantly that value engineering is going to reduce the cost. So give me a ballpark estimate what we expect off of that $3.7 million. Through value engineering?
I don't know if we can give you a specific dollar figure, but what it does allow is the contractor to be involved in the track procurement, and they will have the overhead catenary experience. So there's complexities in the project, although it's a small segment. There's a complexity that we don't normally have in our projects because of the type of work.
I mean, given all the streetcar track we've laid in the city, this is somehow more complex than we've done elsewhere. Although I realize we've probably used CMGC for most of our streetcar system.
Yeah. But for all of the previous projects, they've been CMGC. And so we did have a conversation about looking at a pre-qualification process or CMGC process. And after a lot of discussion, felt that CMGC provided the best opportunity for us to get a contractor that had the experience with this type of work.
How many contractors do have experience with this kind of work?
Well, there are three that I know of in the Portland area, which is Moat, which is in a joint venture right now with Stacy Wintbeck, and then Kiewit, which also worked with Stacy Wintbeck. So there's three that I know of in the area right now, and we're hoping that there'll be several RFP responses, so we'll have a competitive review of that.
But it'll all come back to Stacy Wintbeck?
Well, not necessarily. They have been the prime for previous streetcar projects, but they have had joint ventures with other contractors.
So I'd look to the mayor. If your experience of streetcar development over the country, are there other contractors in other places that might want to bid on this, how might the difference between this approach versus the low bid affect their ability to bid?
I think there are other contractors nationally that are interested in this kind of work, but the trouble is this project is so small and so particular to our system that, frankly, I think a negotiated approach rather than a traditional competitive approach is going to do us better service, because just realistically it's too small and too specialized to have the other players that are now nationally doing more work bother to come to Portland, frankly.
So then how do we, to follow up on Commissioner Saltzman's line of questioning, how do we know that we're getting a good price?
The negotiating ability of our team.
We'll develop an independent estimates before our contractor, so then we will negotiate prices with them. We will have a base of what the cost is for construction.
And in previous streetcar contracts, there's been a huge overhead markup. Is there something that we can do about that prospectively for this one?
When you're referring to overhead, is that the contractor's fee or is that the overhead for cities?
No, the contractor's the pass-through overhead.
So in our RFP, we outline for them what is included in their fee, whether it is home office overhead and those types of items, and they put that in their RFP response. what the fee is once we outline for them what it should be included in their fee. So there's profits.
Well, that's something that I'd like to be different from the previous contracts. There was a particular employee who was a couple of years ago who was, they got a new person into the job and they had had more experience, so they wanted to pay that person based on their experience. And as a course of looking at that, which was a $20,000 contract, it was not amount of money, it wasn't that big, but it turned out that of that $20,000, $7,000 went to the contractor rather than to the employee. So that was like a third of the price was overhead. So that's a concern. Christine right. remembers that particular case. And so I'd like you to look at that for this contract. The other question I have for the mayor and Commissioner Novick is about moving forward with this contract when we are not sure how we're going to pay for the contract.
I think that is a work in progress. I think it's going to involve a mixture of both urban renewal tax increment and general fund dollars to fully fund the work. You know, there's some revenue now flowing from the education urban renewal district that's cash flow, doesn't necessarily involve debt, so we don't have to cross the threshold of incurring debt for that district. And there's also the option of using general fund.
So when are we going to have that discussion?
Next week with the bump, I think.
But with
there is some urgency here because, I mean, Catherine, could you explain exactly the situation we're in with the state and putting the $1.9 million at risk?
That's correct. The Connect Oregon grant has a deadline for completion of construction at the end of this year. So we're moving forward to release the RFP for the CMGC to go through the evaluation. Part of the evaluation will be looking at what the proposers identify as their profit margin, as their fee. So that will be an explicit part of the evaluation process. We'll be able to compare among the proposers on that point. We do have $1.9 million from the Connect Oregon 3 grant. It does expire at the end of the year. We are under a very tight timeline at this point because when the grant was originally accepted in 2010, it was done so with the assumption that this double track was going to be part of the Oregon Sustainability Center. So it was caught up in the timeline for that redevelopment. When that project ceased moving forward, this project was then rescoped and became a double track alignment in the street. But certainly coordination with the OSC took a considerable amount of time and puts us in jeopardy of not completing the project by the grant funding deadline.
Can I be heard on this for a second?
Sure.
This is a very useful, it's a very helpful colloquy. So Commissioner Fritz has raised a couple of questions that are very important to me. So number one, it's my understanding that there may or may not be a future discussion about the education URA, but that now, based on our most current thinking, we don't have to call that question in the next week.
That's correct.
Second, while there was a placeholder in a bump document that I saw for potentially some general fund money, I understand that by identifying money within the education URA that's non-debt, that's in the
cash
account,
flow, right.
that to the extent there is a shortfall that may be included in the bump, it is now south of $250,000, which is different than, I believe, the placeholder, which was over $1 million.
That's right.
And then in my conversation with Commissioner Novick, I'm also sensitive to the fact that there's a timing question in terms of the grant. So because we are not deciding the future of the Urban Renewal District, which, by the way, Council's already adopted, but the Council could revisit that, because the bump ask would be south of 250 if necessary to cover a gap. And because of the timing issue, I'm comfortable proceeding, but I wasn't until I had those issues clarified, and those are important issues to me.
And in further answer to Commissioner Fritz's question, I mean, the time, we would not be bringing this to you today if we weren't in danger of missing our commitment to the state in terms of timing. So we felt like we had to bring this issue today. And you know, we could always pull back the RFP if we decided for some reason we weren't going to fund this project at all. But in terms of, we're worried that we're missing our chance to meet the timeline entirely.
Right. So I appreciate that, and I'm willing to support this ordinance. I would like a commitment that we get the specifics next week as part of the bump, because I didn't have the information that Commissioner Fish had about the different areas of money or what kind of general fund ask were being that might be coming. So we will have
a full rundown
on that next week as a separate thing, because the challenge with the budget monitoring process is there's a whole bunch of things on a list, and I want to make sure this is a very important one. And as Commissioner Fish said, it brings up other questions.
And I, since I share the same question, that based on the representation that the mayor, our conversation yesterday during our regular check-in, I'm satisfied that we're not bootstrapping that discussion now, and it's not necessary for us to decide that question, because there is money available in the district that's non-debt that we can grab.
It would have been helpful had I had that information also.
Who says evolved? Let's say it that way. And the deadline looms, so a lot of fast footwork has been necessary on staff's part to get us to this point. But we'll get that detail of what the likely request for general funds through the bump will be before us next week.
Yeah.
Okay, further questions for staff? Anyone signed up to testify on this?
We have one person, Shedrick Wilkins.
Come on up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Morning.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins. I agree with the mayor. I think the west side streetcars are great, and they go up and down, and they make this way that we can have health care between Good Sam all the way down to the there's a stem cell research center by the waterfront.
Right.
But I do have a problem with streetcars on the east side. People honk all the time. This is just my personal thing. So if I don't even know if one should expand streetcars, really, it's on the east side or do anything like that. So the idea of opening things up nationally is not a good idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Any further council discussion? This is an emergency ordinance, so let's take a roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thanks to Christine Moody and her team for the usual good presentation and work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you very much. Item 1051.
Amend the business license law to increase the owner's compensation deduction maximum for the 2014 tax year.
This carries out a council directive in the budget, but because we've moved the fall budget management process decision to next week, I'm going to move this to next week's calendar if there's no objection. Next week, November 13th, rather. Item 1052.
Donate surplus fire apparatus to Sister City, Guadalajara, Mexico.
Commissioner Saltzman.
This is the second reading.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we had
you had this last week.
I took care of it for you last week.
Roll call.
Novick?
Darn, I had a pun worked out for this. Now I totally forgot what it was.
keep going, Carla.
Aye.
Fritz.
Good work on this. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you for bringing this forward, Dan. This is one of the great rituals of our fire bureau that we are able to take equipment and share it with a sister city. I think the most amazing part of this is that historically the bomberos have come up here and driven these vehicles on I-5 back to Mexico, which is astonishing. Good job. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, that is indeed a long journey. I just want to thank the fire bureau for helping to identify this apparatus to help our friends in our sister city, Guadalajara, Mexico. These apparatus will make them safer and further solidify the great relations between Guadalajara and Portland. Aye.
Hales.
Great work. Aye. And we are adjourned until next week.
Now I remember. I was going to,
the gavel has been struck.
I was going to say that
you've been saved.
I'm glad we have this opportunity to demonstrate once again how fired up we are about our sister city relationship.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that's not on the record.
Saved by the gavel.